This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a certain limp I have today, like the rest of Jets Nation, because the football gods just won't stop kicking us in the nards.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's tough to see because there's no chance on this planet that Aaron Rodgers should come back this year.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, ATP Tour player and Tennis Channel analyst Nick Kyrgios. Pro Football Hall of Famer Barry Sanders. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's a fact, and there I am, just to prove it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hour number two of this program, day after the Eagles beat the Chiefs in a shocker on Monday Night Football. We talked about it with Kurt Warner in hour number one. If you missed that, don't worry. We re-air on the Roku channel as soon as we are done a couple of hours from now. There's our podcast version of this show. There's our YouTube page for all the clips and things of that nature. Barry Sanders, Pro Football Hall of Famer on this show in hour number three as well. And so much to discuss. Tom Brady's comments about the NFL product being more mediocre than ever. We'll discuss that on this program, but I want to turn to my right and find this is a rarity for us. We don't have too many tennis players that we've had here in studio, but joining us here is a winner of seven tour singles titles in his career. Good Trouble with Nick Kyrgios is set to launch at the top of next year, and it is an interview show. He's interviewing Mike Tyson, Gordon Ramsay,
hey,
just a couple. And joining us here now on the Rich Eisen Show is Nick Kyrgios. Good to see you, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
Good to see you.
Pleasure to be here.
So, what are you doing in town? Just hanging out? What do you got?
Did some tennis analysis. I was commentating the ATP Finals
for the Tennis Channel.
Yeah,
right?
That was fun.
What'd you think?
It was different. I loved it. Different point of view, and I feel like the people liked it.
Okay. Were you comfortable being critical of? Perhaps some of your colleagues, Nick? That's what you got to do.
I actually feel like I was the least critical of the three commentators. But, you know, I feel like I understand the pressures and stuff being out there. So, you know, it was just fun to watch and get a different, you know, insight. But no, it was good.
All right.
I had fun.
And now you're coming for my job? Is that what you're doing?
I mean,
Nick,
I
mean, I don't mean to be aggressive right off the bat.
I mean, it's a big desk.
It is that.
I could sit next to you.
Yeah, I don't know about, you know, there's an I in my first and last name. It's very difficult for me to move over. You know what I mean?
I would do some NBA stuff.
But yeah, because I see you're wearing an Iverson lid right now.
Man. Yeah, well, if it was up to me, I'd wear full Celtics gear to every sort of PR thing I do.
Okay, don't feed that beast over there.
Spirits. Come on.
Exactly.
Yes. What's with the Celtics?
I just love them. 2005, fell in love with Paul Pierce, and then the big three came, and just a diehard. We had a shocking loss last night to the Hornets, though.
Not great.
But yeah, just a massive NBA fan.
Okay. And so you would, I think the All England folks would have a problem if you showed up in all greens, right?
Yeah, probably.
Like rip away shorts or something like that. They'd have a problem with that.
I would just rock up everywhere in a Tatum jersey. I love Jason Tatum.
That's your guy,
yeah,
huh?
He's my guy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. And so who do you think is the best player in the NBA? Is it Tatum?
I'll probably say Jokic. It's hard to go past him.
Did you see he got ejected last night?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw they were losing at one point.
That's because Jokic got ejected a minute before halftime last night.
That's what happened. So you think the Nuggets are better without him?
Well,
let's bring that up. Let's
now
that
you're cut out for the media, sir. You are cut out for it.
The lower third.
That's an interesting take.
Are you sure?
What a way. Wow, your mind works. Look at you, Nick.
He's ready.
Jeez.
Ready. Passed. You passed the audition.
I mean, my gosh, ESPN on line one right there. Okay. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, you know, the Nuggets come through Detroit once a year, and the fans who might want to see Jokic see the referees eject him, you know?
You never really see Jokic get too fired up like that, but, I mean, he's only human.
Well, you can relate to getting fired up with officials.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, with officials, definitely.
For sure, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it, Nick. How many rackets have you broken in your career?
Probably a couple thousand, maybe.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, probably dead serious, yeah.
Like counting for your entire life is what you're saying. Or your professional career?
Professional career would be a couple hundred.
Okay.
Yeah. The real work was done before I got on TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm actually more controlled now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You do understand some people would find that surprising.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So who in your life is there to kind of tell you, hey, man, you know, your anger kind of gets the better of you from time to time?
Whoa. Everyone, the public, social media, people don't hold back on that front. But, you know, I was always scared of my dad when I was growing up playing. I knew if I broke a racket or, you know, came back with a scratch on it, I was in for it. I used to just hide the rackets that were damaged.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then obviously it didn't work because then I became trigger happy and with my rackets and just... Look, last year, I had the best year of my career, and I barely broke one. So, I mean, okay. I guess there's some correlation between
that. Well, that makes sense, though, doesn't it? I mean...
Yeah. That's the balance. I obviously found the balance.
How did you find that?
Well, I was winning more often than losing. But I guess I just bought into having a better mentality and you know, understanding that tennis is so up and down. You know, being on the tour for the whole year was incredibly hard. And I just knew I had to manage my emotions better. And that's what I did.
Okay. And so how do you do that? Do you meditate?
Breathe.
Do you meditate?
Not capable of meditating, unfortunately. Very, not a great person to concentrate with.
Okay.
But yeah, just breathing and, you know, my team. You know, I traveled with my team full time last year. And
who's on your team?
My girlfriend, Costine, my best friend/agent,
okay.
Daniel Horsfall, and my physio, Will. He's not with me at the moment, but he was with me full time. And yeah, they just helped me. I guess I lean on them a lot more and yeah, just had a great year.
Okay. And so what would you say to those who look at your game, Nick Kyrgios, and say you self-destruct in the moments when, you know, it gets particularly tough? What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, look, at times I've definitely, you know, struggled to keep my emotions intact. But tennis is one of the, you know, hardest sports in the world. You know, you travel week to week in different country, different time zone, different diet. And it's an incredibly tedious sport. You have to be incredibly patient. So I'm actually one of the most patient people ever because it's impossible to have this much success in tennis without being patient. So there have been times where I feel like I've got it right. I've got it right most of the time. And then those small select times, I've got to do a better job. But look, there's been a few people that have beaten Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal over and over again. So there's a large crop of us.
Of course. So what do you mean by tedious? What do you mean by that?
Well, every session, you know, you're doing the same thing. You know, you're out there on your own. You got no one else to go to. You can't sub yourself out when you're not feeling good.
Right.
There's nowhere to hide. And it's just, you're just hitting a small ball over the net. That's it. And doing it over and over again. I probably hit, God knows how many tennis balls I've hit in my life.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the tedium.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the other way to look at it is that's the hard work that needs to be put
Definitely.
Into the game.
Yep.
And so if you view the hard work as something that's tedious, that would be, I would imagine, something that,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
I enjoyed it.
Against each other.
I enjoyed it. Every time I came out on the court, I wasn't thinking of it being, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to try and articulate it in a way for someone else that doesn't play tennis, it's, you know, some people might find it boring after a while. You know, some matches go for 4 or 5 hours where other sports, you know exactly how long the match is going to be and then the whistle blows. With tennis, it could be an hour and a half or it could be 5 hours. How do you prepare for it?
So you lose focus? Is that what you're saying? Like around hour four? You know, what are you thinking? Like you'd rather be Netflix and chilling or something like that? Or like what pops in your head? You know what I mean?
Yeah, my 5-set record is really good. I mean, the longer the match goes, I feel like I have more time to kind of figure it out. But yeah, tennis is a tough one.
Nick Kyrgios here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is it like to be on center court in Wimbledon for all the marbles? That's Djokovic on the other side of the net. And that's, you know, like a prince and that's a princess and that's James Bond. And, you know, I mean, what is that like, Nick?
It's, it was for me, it was like I wasn't supposed to be there. You know, I grew up in Canberra and, you know, I never fell in love with tennis early on. And I was walking down the hallway to the center court. I see the royal family and I got Novak Djokovic behind me and I'm just like laughing internally. I'm like, this is not supposed to be how it played out. And I walked out on the court and yeah, it was like a snowman in the desert. That's how I felt. I wasn't supposed to be there, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I felt at home. And yeah, I gave one of the greatest of all time a run for their money and it was something to be proud about, definitely.
But what does it require though? Again, this is just I keep returning to the same subject matter, but it is such a mental game you kind of hit on it, right? Where you're by yourself.
Yep.
There are ups and downs, peaks and valleys. You can lose focus. You can have to catch yourself because you're the only one who can do that.
Yep.
And the guy across the net is known for
composure.
Everything.
Yes.
that this is not what I've just described. So what is that like?
Yeah, I just felt like the biggest separator between Djokovic and I in that final was just experience. You know, being in the finals, I think he had been in 30 plus Grand Slam finals, but that was my first one. So that alone, he could draw on so many experiences, being down two sets to love. He's seen every sort of situation. So I feel for me, it was really hard to rattle him. You know, I came out, played a flawless first set of tennis, won the first set, and he was just so composed. And I feel like if I made another couple Grand Slam finals and was able to navigate through that, maybe it would have been a different result. But he was just, I mean, he's the GOAT for a reason.
Does it help to see maybe your opponent, you're rattling him? Does that help you?
Oh, yeah, you love it. I mean, okay. You look at that Tsitsipas match where, you know, I was in his head. You know, I was living in there rent-free. And when I can see that I'm really starting to rattle my opponent mentally, right. That's a nice place.
I totally understand that. So then just to bring it all full circle, don't you understand that when you give that to your opponent, you're hurting yourself?
Yeah. It's easier said than done to keep my emotions in check. But, you know, in that right. match against Djokovic, I felt like I was, you know, mentally really stable and I was playing some great tennis. He's just, it's Novak Djokovic. Like, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I remember when I was covering the U.S. Open way back in the day, you know, when you were just a young pup. I'm dating myself, you know, and I would just see Federer, you know, in early part of his career. I don't think he sweats. Does he? I don't know if he's a gland, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't sweat.
Ever, yeah. Right?
He's just so efficient, I think.
And he just didn't sweat, and then he would just be on the ropes, you would think, and then just uncork one of the most ridiculous shots you would see. Like, you know, just to use an NBA analogy, like Curry.
Yeah.
You know, like really from there, he's going to make that winner from there.
Yeah.
Effortlessly. That's the way I would always look at it, you know?
Yeah, Federer is the most efficient and most pure tennis player, definitely.
So where do you think you can bring your game, Nick? Where do you think we go from here? What do you got for me?
Just need to get healthy. That's one, you know, obviously in sports when you play.
Right.
So for so long, you know, I've probably played on the professional tour now for 10 years, and getting older, you feel your body struggling a little bit with recovery and stuff. So health first and foremost. And then with that, I still feel like I've got one of the best games in the world. You know, I've big serving, you know, aggressive baseliner. And, you know, I was contending for Grand Slams just last year. Final Wimbledon, quarters of US Open.
Yes, sir.
Starting to really find my feet at the Grand Slam level. So health definitely is the first.
Okay.
Priority.
And then, you know, when do you think we're going to get you healthy? What's your plan here?
Next year at some stage would be, you know, I'm still going day by day, focusing on my rehab. So, you know, I've got my eyes set on any time next year, but it takes time.
And it would be perfect timing, certainly, for Good Trouble with Nick Kyrgios coming this way. Tell me about this show episodes are going to be live on the its YouTube channel. What do you got for me on that?
Yeah, well, we're in good hands. I'm working with Naomi Osaka's Emmy Award winning production company, Hanakuma. So, you know, they're well experienced. And, you know, it's been a pleasure working with them. We've done Mike Tyson, you know, doing Gordon Ramsay. And it's just like a sit down, much like you and I right now.
Yes,
it's very intimate. And it's like Good Trouble. Like, what does Good Trouble mean to these, you know, I guess, pulverizing personalities that have kind of done it their way? And it's worked for them. You know, in some ways, you know, they've had some setbacks, but ultimately got a huge fandom and, you know, they're really successful. So that Mike Tyson one was crazy, though, I must say.
Well, you know what? I've had a chit-chat with Mike. He sat in that very chair in which you're sitting.
You can feel the energy in
you. You can just feel it. And at one point, you know, again, this was back in our show years ago when I had to take a commercial break. Remember that, guys?
Yeah.
I had to take it at the bottom of the hour. So right around the half hour into the hour, I had to take one.
Why?
Just because that's just the way our clock works,
right?
It was
the radio clock. Yeah,
the radio clock, you know, not to get too deep in the weeds here. But yeah, we had to take a 60-second break.
Yeah.
And I didn't really particularly like it because having a conversation like we're having right now, I don't want to stop it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to keep, like, could you imagine you're chatting with Mike and it's just like, all right, let's take a 60-second break.
Yeah. And you have to take it.
You have to take it. You know what I mean? So at any rate, I asked him, you know, how many rounds could you give me right now? And this was about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, if you had a fight right now, how many rounds could you give me? And that's a question I ask a lot of athletes who are done with their careers, like football players. How many snaps can you give me? How many quarters can you give me if I ask an NBA player?
Yep.
And he said, I don't want to answer that because every single time I think about fighting, I go to a dark place. Oof. At which point I'm like, all right, let's take a break.
And we'll be right back.
And we'll be right back. It was like one of the few interviews where it's perfect. Let's take a 60-second break and get Mike back here. Because that's the way, you know, he's like, I go to a dark place when I think about fighting.
All that fighting. Yeah. Yeah, he said similar things as well. And we go in depth in that, so it's pretty special.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What else you got? Come on. This is an interview. You didn't want, just
to
tice.
I don't want to, spill the beans because I want people to tune in. And, I think it's, when you think about food, you think about Gordon Ramsay, you think about, one of the best fighters.
So have you interviewed Gordon or that's coming up?
That's coming up in the next, week or two.
He's a hothead.
Yeah, but he's one of the smartest people. I've actually did a little TV show with him back in Australia.
I shouldn't say that without I've never met him. I'm just assuming I'm seeing what I see on camera. So.
Well, yeah, but you've seen him how he acts with some kids though. On the show. He's very nice, respectful. Sure. So but he's one of the smartest people I've ever met. So that one's going to be good too because he's one of the most iconic people I think globally. When you think about food, you think about Gordon Ramsay.
Of course you do, and you think about Good Trouble, also.
Yeah, and then exactly, he can be fiery. I mean, Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares. Yeah. You see the true Gordon Ramsay.
Yes. and so who do you want to interview?
Jay Shetty would be amazing.
Okay.
I think we got some good things there cooking. But I don't know. Any takers, any out there that want to have
All right. Chat? Who's the NBA player you'd want?
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green.
I did message Giannis. But he wants me to come to Milwaukee. I was like,
careful now, Nick.
Easy.
Come on now.
He's going to DM me. Gonna be
careful.
Like,
that's how the NBA free agents
careful. There are people in Milwaukee you watch on YouTube also. You want all the... but come on.
But you want to talk about good trouble.
Man. I mean, Giannis ever gotten in trouble? He's just good.
Well, Dylan Brooks.
There you go.
I would love to do Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, now we're talking.
I'll have DM'd him. He hasn't read it.
The question is any of his trouble been good, though?
I mean, he's having a good season, though.
He is.
He's good.
The Rockets are looking decent once in.
They are with your old coach. With your old coach.
Oh, yeah.
I know. So, good trouble with Draymond Green.
Draymond Green, yeah. I think he hit him up too. And
that's just the win.
I mean, he's.
Because again, just a.
Go old school. You know, Dennis Rodman, maybe?
Yeah, Dennis Rodman would be cool. Yeah, Dennis Rodman.
Right.
I mean, I want to ask Draymond about the chokehold on Gobert. That was insane. That was probably one of the craziest things I've seen in basketball. Right.
Which tennis player would you want to put in a chokehold?
In a chokehold? Yeah. I thought you said wanted to interview in a chokehold.
No.
I'm not going to answer that. Who on
the tour do you want a chokehold, Nick? Just jump over the net and just give him one of the business.
I don't dislike anyone that much to put him in a chokehold.
Oh, I dislike people, but just not that much.
Not that much. Like, Draymond Game must really dislike Gobert.
I don't know.
Seems like everybody does.
Yeah. But it just seems like, again, just to bring this full circle, he has moments where he loses himself and it's to his detriment. It just really is. And he's terrific.
Yeah.
If he could just stay composed.
That's Draymond though.
That's right.
You can't change him.
And that's you as well?
I guess. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad. You look at Draymond, he's had a Hall of Famer career. I'm not saying I have, but I've had some amazing moments as well. And that's just us. You can't look for the last 10 years, people have tried to change me. It's like, I don't think it's going to happen. If it's not going to happen, previously, it's probably not going to happen now. So you got to just enjoy it. You're going to get me on a good day or you could get me on a bad day.
But you're saying you have gotten better at it though, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think Draymond is probably getting a bit older now. He just doesn't want to take any, stick from anyone. So,
All right. Nick, thanks for coming on. Come back anytime.
It was a lot of fun. It went really fast.
Oh, you know what? That's because we're having a good time.
Yeah.
And we haven't smashed anything.
I'm not crazy. Why do you think I'm absolutely crazy?
No, I'm not saying that.
Nick, I get it. I broke an exit sign in a pickup basketball game once.
But have you guys played tennis before?
It's all good.
Were you having a great time or was it frustrating?
Ask Nick your question, Rich.
About what?
Yeah. Remember?
This is amazing.
We're out of time.
We've got to take that break.
They'll give us extra.
Ask him.
I've already backtracked.
It's
too late. He's face to face now.
Professional.
You've got him here.
I've already said I would not.
Well, just ask him.
Okay. It's too late to his lessons.
A 24-hour period, 48-hour period before I backtracked? What'd you say?
It was about
72-hour period?
About 3 weeks.
No, it's not that long.
It was a couple days.
I could get at least 1 point off of Alcaraz.
Cap. Of Alcaraz? is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Nick, by the way, he just heard what Cat meant a few months ago. That so is he understands
one point.
What you meant.
One point. One point. That I wouldn't uncork one thing, that he would just be bored. You know, again, it would be tedious beating me right around, you know, the third, second set.
But do you play tennis at all?
I do, but
can
I'm not.
Can we get some footage of Rich playing tennis?
Let me text Susie real quick.
No, it's, remember we had Kelly Gullett, my tennis coach.
Oh,
on
yeah, your
one.
Coach
we called him in.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him that same question. He laughed me off, saying, "Not a chance." I'm not good.
Okay, let me put.
But
this...
I can uncork a cross court winner, you know, on the run, you know, every now and then.
Super high register.
Level is, okay, let me just quickly just say something. So, Djokovic, I think, has beaten Federer in like a 6-love set before. Mm-hmm. You know, 6-love is, right?
Yes, sir.
So didn't get a game.
By the way,
so
I'm not.
Didn't get
yes.
a game.
Didn't get a game.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then Alcaraz has beaten Djokovic before.
I understand.
So you think you're going to get a point?
A point. Arguably, a single a point?
No.
Point.
How?
It would be 15-40 at some point.
No, it'd be a double fault.
Because he would just like hit his first serve at a 3-quarter pace to your, I'm guessing you got a one-handed backhand because, you know, you don't look like you have a two-hander.
It's very, you know, no. I have a one-hander. It's very Gasquet-like.
Gasquet. That's crazy. What do we make it happen? I'm sure Carlos is going to watch this at some point.
Let's do it. Let's do it on the next episode of Good Trouble. Yeah, now that's Good Trouble.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that is. This is good.
Nick, when you're healthy and you're back in LA,
okay, when I'm healthy, back
we
in LA,
can
LA, we'll
set
do
this
it.
Up. We'll do a shoot with you and Rich.
Okay, that's fine.
No disrespect
we'll
to Rich.
I'll do this show naked next time. If you want.
By the way, your girlfriend just bristled at that.
Like what?
Don't worry, I won't get a point. He's safe. He'll be fully clothed.
Nick,
don't
no
worry.
Disrespect to Rich. I don't think you need to be
I tried.
For that.
Like, hey, there was a good period of time where I believed it. And by the way, you got to speak stuff into existence. You, as a professional athlete, know that.
Okay, that's true. All right.
Thank you.
Some
that's
stuff.
That's true.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's hilarious. Right. Can't believe it. I thought you said me. You said Alcaraz.
No, Alcaraz. 1 point.
No chance.
Good Trouble with Nick Kyrgios. I think we just got in it right here. Set to launch the top of next year. Everybody keep an eye on it. At Nick Kyrgios on Twitter. And your Instagram has got a lot of numbers and letters in it. What is it, King Kyrgios?
King Kyrgios. I had it when I was 12 years old, never changed it.
Attaboy.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go. That's been, and I think that's, we've decided that is the theme of this.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Nick Kyrgios right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday coming up.
That was fun.
Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
All right, folks, let's talk about game time and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So, Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's go to Derek in Missouri. He's been hanging on since literally the first second of the program. What's up, Derek?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
I'm well. You?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to say, you know, I've been a big, long-time listener of yours for a long time, and you're just great at what you do,
Thank you.
I appreciate everything that you detail every single day.
Great.
With
Thanks.
What you've done. So
that's cool. Thank you for saying that, Derek. What's on your mind?
So I just want to say, I mean, I'm a little baffled right now with the Broncos. I mean, I've been a fan for a long time. I'm thinking to myself, here we are. It's week 12. And at one point, I'm not thinking to myself, playoffs. Until what happened back in week 3 against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are, before week 11, the Broncos are still in last place in the AFC West, and the Chargers and Raiders lose. We win against Minnesota and a humdinger, if I might add, for a Sunday night game, of course. And Kansas City loses last night, and here we are, the Broncos, we're talking about them being playoff contenders now, and I mean, what do you what say you?
What say I? Okay, so the defense is definitely tightened and bowed up, right? They're taking the ball away, which is really impressive. The running game, with the exception of Sunday night, is definitely improved, right? Courtland Sutton appears to be the number one receiver there in a way that he was in previous administrations, with the exception of last year, right? Jerry Jeudy appears to be redeemed, is one way to put it, right? Kareem Jackson got suspended again. And they're 5-5 with some winnable games in front of them. Winnable games in front of them, man. Two against the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Chargers have had trouble, as you know, winning more than not. The Patriots on a Christmas Eve night, I'm calling that game. They're visiting the Raiders. The one at the Lions is a tough one to potentially come up with. At Houston's another one. They got Dorian Thompson-Robinson in front of them. They got to make sure he rues the day and that you, the fans there chant the famed incomplete multiple times, because they could win this one. And at 6-5, they can make the playoffs. The Broncos can absolutely make the playoffs. We need to see how the Steelers and their new offensive coordinator is going to maybe improve things there, because their defense is pretty terrific. That game at Houston, thanks for the call, Derek. That could be for, you know, a wild card spot or not at the end of the day. That's a huge game, Denver at Houston, coming up. Jacksonville and Houston, that game will determine, in a way, whether Denver and Houston matters for a wild card spot. Houston could win the division, too. But the fact that Denver was dead in the water and absolutely can make the playoffs right now is truly impressive. And one other thing about Kareem Jackson, and I know players are very upset in Denver that he got suspended for 4 games. Now, the one that you can have an argument with was the initial suspension. The initial one. But when you've been suspended for leading with your helmet and launching on occasion by leading with your helmet, and you have served that suspension, and you come back from that suspension, and the first set of plays of the game on national television shows everyone in super slow motion that you have led with your helmet into the chest of a quarterback. Understand, he was a runner. I get it. He was not in the pocket. He doesn't have the usual protections a quarterback has, but just any runner has protection from somebody leaping with their helmet at you. Sit here and say that's playing football, and you know how I feel about this stuff. I think defenders are called for playing football and getting flagged 15 yards way too much. And we're seeing now these fines come on Friday, you know, these Friday fine dumps by the NFL. And you wake up on a Saturday morning and you're like, oh, that running back who wasn't flagged for unnecessary roughness just had $21,000 to $40,000 like removed from his paycheck.
Jalen Warren?
Right.
Getting
like
entire game checks.
And J.J. Watt has been leading the charge rightfully on this subject matter. This ain't that. If you have been told by the NFL you're suspended for something and you come back and your first hit is exactly that, and you're surprised that they're going to come back and hit you for worse? It's as if his time away from the game didn't teach him a darn thing or make him think differently. But we just had Nick Kyrgios here, and he's just like, I am who I am, and that's the way I play. And in the NFL, you're going to be sat. That's my two cents on this subject matter. And again, I have major problems with the way the game is officiated on these types of plays. Bang, bang plays are the types of plays I'm referring to, or defenders hitting guys in areas that they're supposed to hit them in, but helmets graze and, well, it's in the head and neck area. Where does the neck area begin, right? Is it right around the breastplate, right? Or is it at the bottom of the neck? You know, if it's Davis Mills, that's a huge area. That could be your entire torso for some.
Nice.
I didn't mean to have catch a stray here. But my point of this is...
But guys are leading with their shoulder, and they're getting flagged for these.
And it's not right.
Unsportsmanlike.
And that's why I said during the broadcast, one of those two in Germany, I think it was the Colts and the Patriots one, it's just like, we should have replay assist help out.
Exactly.
If there is an eye in the sky that is used to say, hey, that's not a fumble, just give the ball back so we don't have to stop the game to take a look at it. Or, hey, that ball's out of bounds, let's not stop the game to take a look at it. Hey, that's a first down, let's not stop the game to take a look at it. If that's happening, then can't we just rock it back after a flag's been thrown to say, pick up the flag? Now, the NFL will push back and say, hey, problem with that is, do we now throw a flag down on the field because we're racking it back and saying that should have been a flag, throw it. That's for another day. For flags that are thrown, rack it back and figure it out, because this gets conflated with Kareem Jackson coming back from suspension and doing exactly what he was suspended for in the first place. And everybody's like, oh, the NFL is just being too officious. It's unfair. And it's not.
They didn't throw a flag on that play.
They didn't. Rich. They didn't either.
That's what's wild.
I know. So, my two cents on that. But the Broncos can absolutely make the playoffs. That's for darn sure.
I can't believe you're saying that.
They can.
I mean, I'm saying I believe it. We never would have thought that.
I just
want to
see Russ throw it downfield a little bit more.
Russ is cooking.
I mean, our first hour guest shows me video all the time of wide open receivers that he can just take the profit, and he goes broke running around taking a sack. But that's something I'm sure Sean Payton's working on, and it's definitely worked. Russ is way better a quarterback this year than last.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take a break. Overreaction Monday when we come back on a Tuesday. That's how we're rolling right here on this Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move or go anywhere.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should.
Years.
You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I didn't know.
People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Game Time Tickets. Get the app, please, on your phone, on your mobile device. You will be thanking us for it. Not just because it's so easy to find tickets in your area to every event that you would want. Sports, music, comedy, theater events right near you, not just because you can see the view from your seat so easily. Every single seat in any venue on Game Time, you can see the view from it. Not just because you get to see all-in pricing also, that you get to see everything up front, you know you're getting a great deal. Not just because it's so easy you can get tickets in just two snaps. There's our promo code. Now that helps too. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, Chris, you ready? Let's do it. We did Overreaction Monday pod on Monday. Yeah, now it's time for Overreaction Monday on Tuesday.
Let's do it.
I love this new construct. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there?
Hey,
what
guys.
What
how's it going?
What do you have?
Tuesday. Hey, what's up? You know what, Rich? At what? Full strength, the 49ers are the best team in the NFL.
I mean, you can make that argument. You know, at full strength, they're the best team in the NFL. I don't think that's an overreaction. And I know that the Eagles started the conversation off on this show today, saying that they're the best team in the NFL because they just beat the Chiefs and they're 9-1. That's the narrative coming out of it. 2 weeks from now, we'll see if this is an overreaction or not. Assuming and hopefully for them that their full strength, you know, Hufanga is going to be out for the season. And the other thing that we know is completely full strength is the work staff here on the campus that we're on, because there's some dude who stopped in just literally the one. No, you can put on camera. I don't care. The one spot that he could be on camera to stop to text somebody, he has done so right over my right shoulder.
And
somebody right there too.
And there's a guy right there.
Hold on a second.
Right there.
Hold on a second.
The thing is, they can't see in here. That's funny. So they don't know.
Nice. Well done, Rich.
I feel better.
Well done.
What do you got over there,
the
Chris?
Is there's like a room right
I
there.
Understand. You know what I mean? It's their workspace. It's our workspace.
And they can't and see in either. That's
all
the
I'm saying is that when we're full strength, there's no better show than the Rich Eisen
show.
Got it. All right, what do you got, Chris?
You know, I'm watching that game last night. I've been watching all the Eagles games this year. I have A.J. Brown in fantasy.
Yes.
Didn't love the one catch last night.
It didn't help me out in fantasy either, except for the fact I beat Murph anyway.
Murph.
That is so fun to say.
Murph. Oh, man. DeAndre Swift, he's been the best offseason acquisition in the league this year.
Let's think about it.
That dude has changed.
Hold on a second. Let's think about it. Who else is there? The quarterbacks. Jimmy G, not so much. Derek Carr, not yet. No, Baker Mayfield's been good, but not yet.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, come on now.
Incomplete.
What else? DeAndre Hopkins. Who else? Odell Beckham. Who else? I think you're on it, pal. I mean, that draft night, we knew it, too. We're sitting there in Kansas City. It's like DeAndre Swift has been traded for fifth. And where is he going? Philadelphia. Like, oh, wow, okay. Man.
690 yards rushing. By the way, don't even count week one. He had one carry in week one. So since then,
awesome.
690 yards, 5 yards of carry, 200 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns.
Dude, everybody who drafted Rashad Penny also.
Right? Thought it was going to be Penny season. Not even close.
Well done. I'll say you're spot on there, pal.
He's been awesome. He's been awesome.
What else you got?
You know, for the first time in 5 years.
Yes, sir.
The road to the Super Bowl in the AFC, not going through Arrowhead.
Okay. Dude, that's an overreaction. Everybody who's taking in the show right now, stay tuned for my take on the Chiefs coming out of the Monday Nighter at the top of the next hour. And if you're watching this segment back on our YouTube stream, or you're watching it maybe on the Roku channel collection page, just stay tuned to the top of the next hour.
This is actually a tweak. This wasn't even my original Chiefs take.
Because I'll just tell you now, okay?
The offense isn't good enough to win the Super Bowl.
I'll just give it to you right now. The Chiefs may wind up the end of this regular season 14-3. Talk to me then. So there's
win out?
That.
You're calling win out right now?
Yeah.
Just stay tuned for
wow.
it. Now that you can wow. call that an overreaction too. 13-4
wow.
may be their final record anyway if they don't win out. So everybody's just freaking out right now, hair on fire. or hands in the ice bin, you know. Kansas City Chiefs scissor hands. Everyone's freaking. Just take a beat. That's an overreaction. What else do you have over there, Chris? Man. Come on.
All right, TJ.
Just look at the schedule, which we will at the top of in our next segment. What else, Chris?
TJ, you're welcome. Early Thanksgiving present.
Let's go.
Everybody's sleeping on the Cowboys as legit Super Bowl contenders.
Who's sleeping on them as legit Super Bowl contenders? Who's sleeping on them? Who's sleeping on
them? Who's talking about the Cowboys as making the Super Bowl?
I'm happy with that, though.
Eagles.
Get your damn act together.
Chiefs. Ravens. 49ers. Yeah. That's all you hear.
Yep.
It's Dax time.
Okay. So let me give you
the curse is lifted. Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson.
Dude, now you know he's being an ass.
This was too good to be true.
By the way,
going into the Ring of Honor. Curse is over. 30-year curse done.
He
Dak bringing it home for the boys.
He's sounding like Kyle Brandt at a fifth grade mixer.
I'm glad I didn't take the cheese.
That's
right
fake.
There, Rich.
You're fake. You're being fake. He's not. He doesn't mean what he's saying right now. Don't worry about it.
I'll just say this, man. We beat two teams last 2 weeks that we should have beat up on. That's what we should have done.
No, so, but that's what the Cowboys have. This Thanksgiving game, with Washington coming in, having just lost to the Giants, this is exactly the Thanksgiving turkey that the Cowboys usually unfold for the country.
Spank-a-lanka 40 burger coming
they
on
should.
Thanksgiving.
Let's see it.
You're right.
And then
Rich.
There's Seattle. In two Sundays after Thanksgiving, we'll all be around the television sets, tuning in NBC to see Philadelphia at Dallas. Rubber meets the road on this conversation. I think they're Super Bowl contenders right now, but let's just see how it plays out. For the moment, I'll say, okay, if you think people are sleeping on them, I'll buy it.
Well,
we're not here.
He doesn't think that.
This guy's got a grease board. You are being disrespectful.
What do you mean? We're disrespectful. Yeah.
What's more of an overreaction? That you think everybody's sleeping on the Cowboys, or that we think that you don't mean what you're saying?
The latter.
Okay. What else?
There is less pie.
Thank you.
Respectful to me.
There is less pie.
A couple days there will be.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Very good Thanksgiving drop.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It happened this morning by firing Matt Canada. The Steelers just saved their season.
Dude, by the way, on the Overreaction Monday podcast, he said the Steelers the first subject out of the gate
first one.
Was the Steelers' offensive woes will cost them a playoff spot. Yep. So to be consistent, now that Matt Canada
gone.
Was your for the offensive woes, it's not the quarterback potentially still struggling to learn how to play the game. Nope. It's not because of anything else. Right. It's the offensive coordinator. Now that he's gone, they just saved their season. They're in the playoffs. So you're being consistent.
Consistent. That's what I said.
Saved their season. And I said yesterday, to be consistent, it was an overreaction that their offensive woes would cost them a playoff spot because I think their defense is that good. They also, by the way, still have a shot. I know they're two behind the Ravens, but if they sweep them later on, if they beat them again, they would sweep the season series. They still have a shot at the division title. It doesn't look good. So I will just say that this is an overreaction because I thought that they were going to make the playoffs anyway. But I understand what you're saying.
Now you're being consistent.
And Mike Tomlin said it was his decision and his decision alone.
Interesting, so, conflicting reports.
What else
there.
You got over there?
All right. Despite looking back against the Jets, schedule's too tough for the Bills to make the playoffs.
I'd agree with it. I'd agree with it. And I understand how good they looked against the Jets. They're going into Philadelphia. That team with the grit and determination that we saw last night, what they did with Mahomes. Okay.
0 points in the second half. Look out.
That's all I'm saying. Look out. You know, the train whistles in Western New York will not be there in Philadelphia. So they're going to have to play a perfect game to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And then after that, they've got the Dallas Cowboys at home, a visit out here to Los Angeles. You know, and then that last game at Miami.
Stuff.
They're 6-5, though. I mean, who can they catch? They can catch the Steelers, maybe?
They could catch the Steelers.
Right?
Yeah.
It's possible, but I don't think this is an overreaction. I think that this is definitely a viable thought.
So Bills are 8th. You know, they're behind Pittsburgh 6-4, Houston 6-4, Cleveland 7-3.
I think Houston might, even if Houston loses to Jacksonville this weekend, I think Houston is definitely going to win more than they lose. I think it's going to be real tough for the Bills. What else, Chris?
Last one. Seahawks stumbling at the worst time. They're going to miss the playoffs. Geno banged up. Ken Walker banged
up. Can
you put
up the NFC standings, please? Here's why I don't believe in this, and I'll just say that that's an overreaction. Okay? They have three very difficult games coming up. See the step down? The step down into sniffing it from the wild card? It's a Lulu. There are no 5-5 teams in the sniffing it category in the NFC like there is a whole slew in the AFC. They'd really have to fall and not be able to get, like, total first alert here.
They play the 49ers.
I know, twice. A visit to Dallas.
That could be three straight losses
I get it. So six and seven, which put them in the sniffing it mosh pit with a whole bunch of these other ones. The problem is that they don't have a tiebreak against the Rams.
Packers get hot. Rams get going.
I just think the Seahawks overall are too good to fall out of. They're too good to fall out of seven. You know, that's the reality of it. That's the math. So I'll call that an overreaction at present. And that's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Check out the Overreaction Monday podcast version that we do every single Monday as soon as our show is over. Over 100,000 views on our YouTube page of that already. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Do us a favor, hit the follow buttons. You get every single Monday, and it's just as fresh throughout the entire week. And then while you're at it, hit the follow button for What the Football. Susie Schuster, Amy Trask, their show today features Steve Mariucci. And Mooch will tell tons of Thanksgiving stories, winning on Thanksgiving, getting fired because of Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
I mean, seriously.
Poor Mooch.
Apparently, he and Amy Trask once upon a time met in a plane. That's a story that's pretty good. They'll be telling John Madden stories. Susie has a great one involving the Madden Cruiser itself. It's great. What the Football. Check it out later on today and hit that with a follow as well. All right. Do we have time at the end of this? Let's take a call here. Jason in Maine, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
Hello, Rich Eisen. Thank you for taking my call. Great show.
Thanks, pal.
As always. You know, I'm with you. I feel bad for Matt Canada, but, you know, on the other side of the coin, it really is a Thanksgiving miracle because that change had to be made. It's a results business, and that performance on Sunday against the Browns was just so bad, so god awful.
But the Browns have a great defense, you know. Not to push back, and I know that's recency bias. I understand you're talking about, a body of work over 2.5 seasons. I understand what you're saying, Jason. So you believe this is going to turn a corner here, and it starts against Cincinnati. That's what you're saying.
Well, I'm hoping so. I mean, I'll ask you the same question that all Steelers fans have to be asking themselves, and they have been. Was it more a matter of, you know, Matt Canada and the scheme and the play calling, or is it the players? We've seen Kenny Pickett look good, and I still want to put my eggs in that Kenny Pickett basket. I still think he can and will be a really good quarterback in this league. I mean, they're winning with him right now, and they're not looking good at all. So I still think they can win with him. We're going to find out. So I'll ask you that. Which camp are you in?
Here's my camp. My camp is I believe in the players. That's my camp. And thanks for the call. I believe in him. I do. I mean, Pickett has shown some ability. But outside of that, Deontay Johnson's kind of fallen off a cliff last 2 years, right?
And then George Pickens since Deontay Johnson's come back.
Pickens is really good. Jaylen Warren is really good. Freiermuth is really good. Let's protect. Let's scheme it up in a way that will absolutely lead to points in a way that hasn't before. New set of eyes. Let's see if that works. So, you know, let's see if that happens. And it starts against Cincinnati. And, you know, they got fresh meat, Jake Browning. We've got Jordan Palmer on tomorrow's program.
Nice.
He's the throwing coach of Jake Browning. And I think he's coming on to say, don't sleep on the kid, that he's about to be in a great spot, but it's going to be his first career start. Unbelievable how many first career starters. Barry Sanders coming up. Again, so we got a lot to talk about in hour number three. We've got the conversation that Brady says the NFL product is more mediocre than ever. We have Mike Tomlin talking about his offensive coordinator change. You got Barry Sanders, and I haven't talked about my 2 cents on the Chiefs. So we got that. You think we can fit it all in 1 hour?
I think so. The Colts just cut Shaq Leonard.
What?
Yeah, that was a conversation.
Really?
Yeah, that he was a two-down linebacker.
Yeah.
That was a conversation going into the game in Germany.
Interesting.
That he's just, you know, he had two back surgeries, a ton of money. He was a terrific player for them, and he wanted to be on the field more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kid's speed was on the field a heck of a lot more than him, and he turned into a two-down linebacker. He came out. He came off the field on third down.
I didn't know
that. And that was what was happening there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to take a shot on him. I mean, I imagine he'll clear through waivers because he has a huge contract.
Yeah.
And so once he clears waivers.
Somebody can use him for those two
downs. You need a linebacker?
Come get me.
There you go. Maybe the Patriots should pick him up. Time to take on the Giants. What do you think, Chris? They got to win football games. They got to win as many games as possible between now and the end of the year.
Amy, listen to me.
Oh, Amy Trask has just walked down the set.
The Pats need to lose as many games as possible.
You know, and she will tell you, as a top-notch executive who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, I'll say those things.
Yes. You do.
You want to win games.
No.
Just win, baby.
She knows.
Just win, baby.
What's great is losing. No.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azarad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.